Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What is going on, everyone? Good morning or good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. It is the Fightful post show for Wrestle Kingdom 18 that just took place in Tokyo at the Tokyo Dome. I got two outstanding people, Scott Edwards and Mr. SP3 of True Hill Heat, with me. We are going to do a quick show for you because we are really all tired and we want to go to bed. So let's just start off with a bang. The Rambo match started off, and
remember to like the video and share and all that good stuff.
Thank you.
Send super chat so Rob can get paid, and hopefully Sean Russat watched the opening to this show, and he could finally give me a job at Fightful. Send us
there. You go. I'd like that, because I would have forgotten about the hit the like. No. I would have got to hit the like button at the end of the show, but. But yeah, leave a comment, hit that like button. That goes a long ways for us. And of course, subscribe to Fightful Select. But you guys might see a cat going behind me. I'm not sure. But yeah, let's get started. The Rambo match. Scott, I'll start with you. What do you think of this?
Man, the Rambo matches are all the same to me at this point. Like, they just kind of morph together year after year. There's always at least one person that pops me, at least, and that year, this time was Fujita Junior Hayato of Michinoku Pro. If you know his story, that was a really cool moment for him. He may have not been in the match for a long time, but I really enjoyed that. But overall, I'm upset that Taichi got eliminated before the final four. I wanted him in there, but I'm excited for Great Okan, because it does feel like this might finally be his moment to win something in this company. But, you know, watch me be wrong come New Year's Dash.
So, SP3, how about yourself?
There's a couple of people that I thought were criminally in this matchup. Like, Tomohiro Ishii should never be in the Rambo. He should always have a singles match, preferably for the NEVER Openweight Championship, because he always delivers in those. Someone like Jeff Cobb and pretty much the entire United Empire contingent that was in this matchup. Hanare, who's had a great year with some five-star matches with the likes of Shingo Takagi. Great Okan, who's been doing great work and coming off the heels of one of his best matches just a couple of months ago against Jon Moxley. I wish they were more, but it's good that they were highlighted in this matchup. And like Scott said, it seems like the Great Okan is the favorite to win tomorrow at New Year's Dash. So I'm always for that. Yo was very interesting here in that he felt like he was junior Taguchi, doing a couple of like Taguchi kind of mannerisms. At first, one point he took off his shoes when he came into the ring and he was wrestling in socks, and he takes the socks off and he's wrestling barefoot. He's doing the rope walk and then he gets crotched. So a lot of interesting things with Yo. So I don't know if this is a new kind of persona for him there. So that was another notable thing. And of course, Azuki making his appearance and getting the fingers back and fingering a whole bunch of people. He fingered people to death in this.
I'm glad somebody got fingered. But
me too.
Yeah. Though the final four was Great Okan, Toriyano, Ishimori, and Yo. So
I'll pay money for Toriyano to stop being in these final fours. Please.
Don't you dare deny me my Toriyano. Toriyano, the greatest comedy wrestler. Move over, R-Truth. It's Toriyano's time.
Love R-Truth. Poor guy.
All right. So the first match, we have the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match. Bullet Club War Dogs taking on Catch 22. This match, I'll be honest, I was pretty freaked out by TJP. I want to hear SP3. What do you think of this match?
A solid opener to the show. I think, of course, the big standout from the show is going to be from this matchup is going to be Filipino Fiend TJP, who was decked out in a whole new persona coming off the heels of Bullet Club War Dogs beating Catch 2-2 on the final show in Kurgan Hall just 2 weeks ago. He was put in the coffin. He lost the coffin match, and now he comes back to life here in the entrance, and the look was definitely scary. It took a lot of people aback, and I felt like it kind of hurt the reaction to this matchup that would have kind of been more, I think the crowd would have been more invested into this matchup based on the history between these two teams dating back to last summer. But I feel like the character kind of took them out of it, and they didn't know how to really react to it. So that's my only kind of nitpick on the match, but what they put out there was a solid effort, and Catch 2-2 winning back the Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championships makes a whole lot of sense. They are the aces, the anchors of this division, so it makes sense to put the titles back on.
And you know what's funny is I said Catch 22, and I know it's Catch 2-2, but I'm trying to stay awake here.
It's but, fine. It's numbers, man. No, we can't deal with numbers. We all have an hour of sleep. What are we doing?
Yeah, I have a hard time with numbers and letters, so it's okay. I mean, that's what we're going with. But Scott, what do you think of this?
Yeah, I think the problem I had definitely was like the whole TJP thing, because I thought it was cool, right? I thought the whole character was cool, but it was like so out of nowhere. And I think SP3 is absolutely right. I think it's like, I don't think anyone was knowing what to expect, because it just happened, right? It just kind of happened. There was no like true buildup. I understand he got buried in a coffin, but there was no like tease other than like the one thing Francesco Akira said at the press conference yesterday. And if you didn't pay attention to the press conference, if you did pay attention to the press conference, you still have no idea what it meant. But overall, like, I thought the match was a fine opener. It's there to do exactly what it did, right? Kind of start the crowd off hot with some cool moves on the outside and so on and so forth. It's not the best junior tag team title match that we've gotten at a Wrestle Kingdom. There's just so many in the past that I think have beaten this, but it did its job. And honestly, I think that's really all we can ask for from a match like that.
I think last year with Catch 2-2 versus Leo was better.
Oh, absolutely. Not even close, truthfully. But still did the job. And I think Catch 2-2, honestly, is like one of the better tag teams in wrestling these days. So it's nice to see them get the belts back, even if we have a Fiend character now in New Japan.
Mm. Yeah, I thought the match was pretty good, and I was surprised to see War Dogs lose. I really was.
I think that it's Wrestle Kingdom, so it's usually the time to make the change with the titles, and we saw that a lot on this show. And also, I felt like the Bullet Club War Dogs, they did enough with those Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles. They won them back at Independence Day in July of 2023, so they got a good six-month reign with them. So I felt like it was time. That's why I predicted Catch 2-2 to win here.
All right. So after that, we had Zack Sabre Jr. defending his New Japan Pro Wrestling's World Television Championship against Hiroshi Tanahashi. You know, every time Sabre is in a match, I'm excited to watch it. Tanahashi, he's getting on up there. The president, he, as I tweeted out, he triple Tanahashi it. So put the bosses in charge. So he got the, I mean, I'm joking, but he got the victory. I like this match. SP3, what do you think?
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed this matchup to the point that I was shocked to learn that this was only 8 minutes because it just flew by. It was just so fast. But I like by the end of it, I was like, oh, that had to be over 10 minutes, right? And it was like, no, 8:28. I was like, that's probably one of the best 8-minute matches I've ever seen. They did not waste any time. It was a technical wrestling clinic between two of the very best. Do I agree with Tanahashi winning here? No, because Zack Sabre Jr. was my favorite champion in all of wrestling, and what a run that he had, a full year, 17 successful defenses, just a iconic run to really establish this title. And now it goes to Tanahashi, who can now be a flag bearer and a kind of a litmus test for the young stars to finally dethrone this title and finally a young star win this title that was introduced for the young stars.
Scott?
Yeah, I think the way I look at it in two ways, not just like the winner, but also the match itself. And I think Tanahashi in a 15-minute time limit match is actually like a perfect role for him right now. He doesn't have to do the big buildup. You saw it in this match. 8 minutes didn't feel like 8 minutes. He got all of his stuff in, and I was very entertained. I think with Zack Sabre Jr., my hope with him losing is that he is now going to go up the card because yes, the likes of Will Ospreay's gone. Spoiler alert, Tama Tonga is now gone. You know, like, people are leaving. And Zack Sabre Jr. has long been one of, if not arguably, the best international talents in this company. I know Ospreay gets the favoritism there, obviously, but I think if you put Zack in these big roles, especially after this television title reign, he's going to absolutely succeed. So that's what I'm hoping is the reason we took the belt off of him. The match itself, so good. The first, I'd say, very good to great match of this show. It was shocking only because, you know, it went 8 minutes, right? But it just packed in so much excellent wrestling. And I'm hoping that this means that one of those Rewa Three Musketeers or Yuya Uemura, of course, can get the title from Tanahashi, because I think that would be a big win for one of them. The first person I thought of was Tsuji, because I just feel like Tsuji in these 15-minute sprints will be a perfect fit, but I'm happy with any of them at this point because I just want one of them, someone of the young crew, to get a damn title, please.
Well, you know, if you want to last more than 8 minutes, we have a sponsor for you. So here you go.
Hello. Do you have a limp penis? A difficulty getting it erect? Boy, do I have a product for you. Bluechew.com and the code FIGHTFUL will help fix that. Blue Chew has the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. But they work a lot faster because it's a chewable. It's also much more affordable. Use that promo code FIGHTFUL. Get your first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping. One of the best parts, it's discreet. No awkward in-person doctor's visits. You don't have to go to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door when approved by an online physician. You want to check this out. It will help you. It is a good product. It will make your sex life better. Bluechew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
That lasted longer than that match did. So, but yeah, so I thought that was perfect timing for it. So I
don't know. Yeah, it seemed right. Seemed right.
I'm happy I could lay that up for you.
You did.
I will take us to the next match, which was Yota Tsuji versus Yuya Uemura. For me, this was a big, big match, not just because I'm excited for the young guys in this company, but Yuya Uemura needed this match. Like, I can't stress that enough. This was a match he desperately needed to deliver in. And ultimately, I still felt like Yota Tsuji was the star of the match. However, Yuya Mori gets the win in what I thought was a great closing stretch by him. And those are the baby steps we need, right? I thought the match was very good. And it's just the beginning between these two, right? You would think sometime in the next 5 to 10 years, these two are main eventing this show, if all goes right. At least I'd hope so. SP3, what were your thoughts?
I've said it once, I'll say it again. Yota Tsuji not only will be main eventing a Wrestle Kingdom in the future, he should have main evented this show, because he should have beated Sonata back at Dominion 2023.
Hey, amen. That magical moment at the end would not have been the same.
Hey, I don't care about no magical moment.
I do.
I don't care about Cody's story. I don't care about Sonata's magical moment. I care about...
It was actually about Naito's, my guy. I mean, you gotta care about Naito.
Naito got his roll call. He would have got his roll call still if he first.
No, clearly, wouldn't have.
Because Naito didn't mention Sonata in the roll call. He said thank you, but I'm not even gonna mention you in the roll call. The Tsuji Uemura matchup was really good. I do agree with Scott. Tsuji just had me throughout this matchup just being like, man, I don't think there's anyone else in the business that has a better moveset than this kid. The way he does stuff, the moves that he does it, the sequence in which he does it are just top notch. It's one of a kind, and that's what makes him like the instant star, young star of New Japan Pro Wrestling, where I wouldn't be surprised if he made a vetted Wrestle Kingdom 19. I would also wouldn't be surprised if these two guys faced again at a Wrestle Kingdom for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, because they showed what type of potential they have. Uemura is just a natural babyface. He shows kind of traits of Hiroshi Tanahashi, as well as with the arm drags, Ricky Steamboat, like commentary said. And I just thought that they had really good chemistry together in this matchup.
Yeah, I thought it was a great match. You pretty much nailed everything that I was thinking, so great match overall.
Absolutely. But I know we got to talk about this next match, even though I really don't want to. It was House of Torture, Evil and Ren Narita versus Kaito Kiyomiya and Shota Umino. I don't mean to say Shota Umino and Kaito Kiyomiya's names with so much less enthusiasm as I said every other name on this show, but spoiler alert, guys, this is the worst match on the show. This was after the matchup, most people that I heard were just like, well, that was a decent angle, but as a match, it was subpar. Scott, what did you think about this one? House of Torture getting the win, Ren Narita.
Well, you know what they always say, the house always wins, baby. I was a fan of this match. I actually like this better than the tag title match, which bored me to sleep. Yeah, that's right. You know what's one thing I did see in this match, though? That how far ahead Shota Umino is from Ren Narita, much like Tsuji is from Yuya Uemura. I was like, okay, so those two that lost in these two matches, they should be the ones in the Tokyo Dome main event next year. That's what I'm thinking. I don't think you wait for that. I think, you know, Naito loses probably to Tsuji, or no, that makes more sense. That's more fun storyline wise. And then, you know, Umino wins the G1 and we're on our way. However, I love seeing Kaito Kiyomiya in the Tokyo Dome. There's not enough Kaito Kiyomiya in big matches, I think, because his own promotion doesn't treat him that way all the time. And he felt like a big star here. I never have that much of a problem with the House of Torture stuff. I understand why people do, because it gets repetitive, especially if you watch over and over and over again. I think they actually did a better job on the Noah show the other day than they did here, because, you know, they lost on the Noah show. They didn't lose here, but overall, I'm entertained for what's next more than anything with Ren and Shota, because I think what they have is funny. However, very funny that Ren Narita's winning with a Bella Buster. Didn't see that coming.
The X Factor. Come on, sir. Don't tell everybody how old you are. and why you're using Bella Buster.
If it helps, I did say X Factor first to my friend, but I was like, no, we're changing this to the Bella Buster because it's 10 times funnier.
Overall, thought it was, like SP3 said, it was a match.
It was there.
But yeah, overall, no problem with it. So I'm going to need somebody else to take over for a second. My computer's acting up.
I gotcha. Next up was the Never Openweight Championship match of Shingo Takagi versus Tama Tonga. And I was just going to say it now going into this match. I was like, okay.
Same.
And then they killed it because Shingo Takagi's one of the all-time greats, baby. This was a Shingo Takagi performance and a half. I give Tama Tonga credit too, but he said he's leaving, so I don't have to. Which was crazy, by the way, because Shingo was so good in this match and then he lost, and I was like, okay. And then, you know, the press conference. But I thought Shingo once again proved that he should be at the top of this card, not in the middle or in the Rambo. He should be back in the top three matches because he's one of the very, very best. And I'm hoping maybe he gets away from the Never. You look at that global heavyweight title. You look at the IWGP World Heavyweight title, and you just let him go get them because that's what he should be doing. He's one of the very best, and he showed it here. This match was the match on the show that completely over-delivered. Completely in every which way. In terms of my expectations, if you like want to talk stars, I was like, all right, this will be 3 stars and we'll move on. Nah, this was great.
Absolutely could not agree more. This is the match that over delivered, exceeded my expectations the most. And to explain to you guys, if you don't watch New Japan Pro Wrestling too often, why there was a certain amount of apathy among Western fans like myself and Scott towards this matchup is because we saw in the G1 one of the rare 20 minute time limit draws was this matchup. And I think that I'm not alone when I say that match didn't even sniff my top 10 matches of the G1. Then they had a Never Open Weight Championship matchup in October in Las Vegas, Fighting Spirit Unleashed. And they got 27 minutes and it felt like 50. And it was a good match. I would even go as far as to say it was a very good matchup. But by the end of that matchup, I was like, I never need to see that again. I never need to see that again. That was good, but I never need to see that again. And what we found out in this matchup is we found the right amount of time to give these guys. That's what we found out in this matchup. The right amount of time to give these guys was around 13 to 15 minutes because they can have an absolute banger that was all thriller, no filler. We got high impact moves, the reversals, the counters, the made in Japan into the freaking gun stun was one of the best reversals on this damn show. And the DSD, the J Driller at the end, I just like, oh my god, you just crushed this man's skull in the mat. That was just great. This is the Tama Tonga that I want to see more from the look and presentation with the beard and stuff. I said immediately on our live stream over on True Heat, I was like, yes, this is Tama. That's Tama. He's got the facial hair back. I was like, it was all cool with the baby face. You're a baby face now. You got to have an actual baby face. But this is the look I need. He was aggressive. He was hard hitting. He felt like he fit in the Never Open Weight BMF division in this matchup. And then he turns around after and says, oh, you know what, I don't really want to be here. This is my last month in New Japan.
Crazy.
What? And apparently the reports are saying he decided that stuff during the match or after the matchup because he did not tell New Japan this. What is going on?
You know why he did it? Because he's like, I'm never topping this match. I gotta go.
Man, I'm a Tama Tonga guy, so I was surprised when I heard that, and I found out probably 15 minutes after it posted because I was just busy like with the watch along, and I decided to just click on Fightful, and Jeremy's putting stuff out there, and I'm like, wow, okay, I'm not really expecting it. I'm like, well, why the hell they put the title on him then?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But then
you won the title, and it's like, all right, I'm done.
Hey, exactly. we got a super chat from Luis. Bullying works. It sure does.
It's crazy to me. It just doesn't make sense, though.
We got our head bully, Maggie, helping us out. Thank you, Maggie.
Yeah, thank you, Maggie.
I will say I agree with Scott as well. This is like the second matchup where a singles champion lost, and I was like, okay, now they go up the card. First it was Zach in the Hiroshi Tanahashi match. I was like, okay, he should be Naito's first challenger for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. And Shingo actually owns a victory over David Finlay in the G1. So if they didn't do the angle after that match that they did, I immediately, after the loss for Shingo, I was like, throw him in the Global Heavyweight Championship scene and have him beat David Finlay. Get that title off of him.
They picked a different route for that one.
Slightly different.
I'm very excited for, because I've committed to the bid at this point.
And after this match, we saw Nick Nemeth and his brother Ryan, a.k.a. Dolph Ziggler, show up at ringside. I was, SP3, what'd you think of that?
I was absolutely shocked. I was like, very much so. I was like, what the hell is that? Dolph Ziggler? First I saw Ryan Nemeth, and I was like, why do we care if he's here? And then I was like, wait, but who's that next one?
The camera did it. Okay.
That's his brother. No, it's because he had a bright pink shirt. Yeah. He stood out much more immediately. If you're just watching visually, he stood out way more than his brother. But then you realize, oh no, that's the person I'm supposed to be paying attention to. Oh, he's here. Dolph Ziggler, Nick Nemeth. It took me literally, like I said, I was doing a watch along over on True Hill Heat, and took me maybe like 10-15 minutes to stop calling him Ryan Nemeth or Dolph Ziggler and finally call him Nick Nemeth for the first time. Because I think that I have been calling him Dolph Ziggler for nearly 2 decades. I don't know if that's going to end. Like, I very quickly was able to go from Edge to Adam Copeland because I feel like that's so much different. But because it's Dolph Ziggler to Nick Nemeth and there's already a Ryan Nemeth, if I don't call him Dolph Ziggler, I want to call him Ryan Nemeth. So it's a very interesting conundrum with this whole thing for me personally. It's just a surreal moment of seeing Dolph Ziggler after so long, not in a WWE setting, but in New Japan. It was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, it was cool. I liked it myself. Scott?
I've committed to the bit, like I said. Zigzag 2024 is now in, and it's funny because they walked out right during the tag title match. I was like, oh, all right, a Nemeth tag team title challenge. That's fine.
I immediately went from the Nemeths going for the titles to, Nick Nemeth for VLP would be great, though. Like,
well, the funny thing was, and then they, like, I saw them the next match. I was like, oh, he didn't leave? Like, you know, when you bring someone out, they usually take off. And I was like, oh, maybe he just wanted to chill and watch the show. That's kind of weird. And, of course, we saw why. But I'm very excited to see what a determined Nick Nemeth. I'll figure out someday. I'm very determined to see what that looks like because it's been so long. You know, in his day, which was years ago at this point, not because his doing, by the way, you know, you don't get put on TV, you can't do much. But when he was at the top of his game, he was great. And I have committed to the idea that if this is like one of their new replacements and he stays for more than just a match with David Finlay, which, God willing, I hope he is, I think this is exciting for New Japan. You know, they're kind of in the need for these new international guys with Ospreay out and Tama Tonga out. And I think Nick Nemeth's definitely interesting at the very least. I can't wait to see if he's around a lot. But I'm hoping he is because it's just different and so unexpected, which makes it so much fun.
Yeah, for sure. And then we had the after that, we had the basically. Jesus.
The IWGP and New Japan Strong Openweight tag team championship matchup. Winner takes all, Guerrillas of Destiny, El Phantasmo and Hikuleo versus Bishamon, Hiroki Goto, and Yoshihashi. This match didn't get as much time as I thought it should have because of the, you know, the stakes on the line. There, of course, their World Tag League matchup, which was 40 minutes, was much better than this one. I just thought that this was a good matchup, but I was waiting for like the next gear for it to go, and then it just kind of ended.
I couldn't fully invest myself into this match because, one, I knew who was winning because the IWGP tag titles do not ever get successfully defended at this damn show. So I was like, all right, ELP and Hikuleo, let's win already so we can move on. And I think you're absolutely right. I just don't think they got the time to get going. And I think based off of their tag league final match, which was far better than this, they need the time to make it work between these two teams. And I also just didn't like the finish, like the Hikuleo dive from the top that kind of looked really bad and just ended. I was like, okay, sure. But yeah, it's fine. Not everything needs to hit for me on the show. Everything after this hit for me on the show, so it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Overall, I thought it was fine. You know, Guerrillas of Destiny, who just did an interview with Sean Ross Sapp on Fightful about a week ago. Check that out. They hinted that their contracts might be coming up. So that's pretty interesting too.
Maybe they'll make the decision tomorrow for fun. Yeah. Just like Tama Tonga did. Follow his footsteps.
All the gorillas heading out.
Yeah, they've had enough. So we move on to the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Hiromu Takahashi taking on El Desperado. This match was fun, I thought. Scott, what do you think?
Finally, the best junior in the world.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Holds the junior heavyweight championship. El Desperado. It's been a long time coming. It's been a long time coming that he finally beats Hiromu in the title match. I've needed this. You know, with Hiromu defending, I needed this at Wrestle Kingdom specifically because it's all the more important. They packed a punch in this match. They didn't get, you know, the 25, 30 minutes that, you know, maybe you'd get a classic like they have delivered before. But they didn't need that. They put everything they needed to make this work on this card. The crowd was super into it. El Desperado looks like a megastar, as always. Hiromu was Hiromu. And I just thought this was really, really great in terms of like just getting us back to that Wrestle Kingdom feel. I thought that's what this did, right? El Desperado attacking Hiromu from the get-go and then just going from there. Really enjoyed this, and I'm really happy Despy is the champion now, because I'm very excited for what his reign could turn out to be, especially after what I thought was overall a pretty great Hiromu run until like the second half of last year, where it started to kind of disappear. I'm expecting
in New Japan the second half of 2023.
Yeah, I'm expecting Despy to have a great year, especially with so many possibilities in Best of Super Juniors, much like last year.
I really enjoyed this one. I would say that this was the second great matchup on the show after Shingo and Tama. These guys got less than 15 minutes, and it was all down to pacing. They paced this one perfectly, where it hit the crescendo right at the ending, and it just made sense when Desperado first goes hits Pinche Loco and gets the near fall, and then just says, "No, I'm gonna drop you on your head," and then hits you with Pinche Loco again, immediately going back to that finish. I love that finish for the matchup. And it made Desperado look very strong. And I agree with Scott. Desperado has been one of the best junior heavyweights out there. He was my pick to win the Best of the Super Juniors last year. I was so disappointed when he came up short in the semifinals. This makes sense here. And now he is 2-0 against Hiromu Takahashi at the Tokyo Dome at Wrestle Kingdom. 2 years ago, as champion, he successfully defended the title against Hiromu, and now here he beats Hiromu, ending Hiromu's greatest reign of his career as IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, one full year as champion, and stopping Hiromu from getting his title defense record, which was the whole theme of this reign for him. So Desperado kind of furthered his rivalry with Hiromu while having a great match in the process.
Yeah. So before we go to our next one, we have a super chat here. I would say this name, but I would not do you any favors.
Wallaby. So. Wallaby.
Oh, that. Thank you. Because I was not close. The Nemeths had nothing to do with the tag match, but instead it was all about the global championship and Finley. That's what surprised me, too. I mean, I think it surprised. Yeah. So, man, I was expecting the same thing you guys were with the tag team. That's who I thought they were there for. But we will move on to the IWGP Global Championship with Will Ospreay, John Moxley, and David Finley. SP3, what'd you think of this?
Now, so like I said, Tama, Shingo, great match. Hiromu, Despy. Great match. This was another level up. This was spectacular at times, breathtaking at times, thrilling. And I love the simple storytelling of they set everything up in the press conference with Ospreay suggesting this whole ceasefire with David Finley. But they really set this all up with how they introduced this matchup back at Power Struggle, where they had the big stare down, like we were going to set up a big Wrestle Kingdom matchup between Ospreay and Moxley, and David Finley, the inconvenience of it all, had to insert himself in this, and that's how the story of the match was. It was like Moxley and Ospreay did not want Finley in this match. They had much rather face each other and much rather have great sequences where you get a Death Rider into a Hidden Blade. You get the reversals. You get the counter work. Anytime Ospreay and Moxley were going at it, it was just artistry. And then David Finley would just stick his nose in the business. And the best part is when they were going through the strike exchange and Finley just comes in, hits both guys. They're just looking at him like, dude, like, we don't want to deal with you. And he has to spit at them for them to finally hit him. It was just, I was just loving every single moment of this matchup. David Finley picking up the win. I was totally fine with. I knew that was going to be the result in the end, and I thought they told a great story getting there. This was fantastic. A fantastic three-way where all three guys came out of the matchup the better for it.
Scott?
I loved everything about this match except for when the War Dogs showed up. I felt like because I was so into it, right? And I thought Moxley had like an especially fantastic showing this match. I think Death Rider Mox is the best Mox, which might be a hot take, just because of how great he is in AEW, obviously. But every time he's in New Japan, it's just different. But this match was going, incredible pace. And then the War Dogs walked out. I was like, timeout. When did they become House of Torture? Because I know like people hate House of Torture, and I was like, I know I'm going to see on in like 2 seconds. They're going to look on the timeline and people are going to be like, oh, but we love the War Dogs. I was right. Of course they did. And I was like, this is the same exact thing. The only good thing about this was the way Alex Collin fell through the table. I thought that was hysterical. But overall, the match is great, so it's okay. David Finley winning. Expected, obviously. He's the only signed talent to New Japan Pro Wrestling. So why wouldn't you put the new title on the guy that signs New Japan Pro Wrestling? I was really hoping for it to go to Ospreay to Okada, but I dreamt a little too much. Okada won another belt. I know, silly me.
You don't deal with those smaller belts. But I also agree with you that Coughlin falling through the table, that was the best sequel to Ospreay getting his brain splattered through the table last year by Omega. That was the nice little sequel that it was Ospreay that did that to Coughlin. So his ass is through the table. That's great stuff. Great moment. Great
finish. It was that unofficial payback for him, even though, you know, it wasn't Kenny, but you know, you have to put the belt on Finley, and I'll tell you what, I'm definitely interested in the next matchup just for pure wonder with Nick Nemeth, because I was not expecting that one.
I kind of did though, because they didn't do the angle after the tag team.
Sure. Yeah.
So immediately, I think it was like before this matchup on our watch along, I was like, so, like, is Nick Nemeth still out there? Are they going to do, like, something with them? Yeah. Because I don't think they really set up anything with the tag team titles. And then he was still sitting there, and David Finley comes right over, starts talking trash. Nick Nemeth gets up. They start talking trash to each other. We get a pull-apart brawl between one another. And that seems like it sets up maybe Battle in the Valley? Battle in the Valley, the first global championship matchup, Nick Nemeth versus David Finley.
Anyone want a little fact? The last title match Finley had, Fit Finley, was against Dolph Ziggler in WWE. So, how about that?
That's where the story is going. So,
I need
David's going to finish the story.
He's going to do it for his daddy first.
God. But before we go to the next match, let's hear from our last sponsor, Bet Online.
Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about betonline.ag, the official betting partner of Fightful. It's not just an online platform. They've been trusted for over 25 years. They boast a focus on the player approach and have built their reputation on offering their clients nothing but the best, from cutting edge technology to enticing promotions and the latest sports betting odds. Whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or football, baseball, basketball, or racing, anything you can think of. All major sporting events are covered by betonline.ag. Fast payouts, highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, safe and secure online environments, and their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites weekly and easily and in real time. betonline.ag. That's where we're going at Fightful. That's where we suggest you go as well. That's where we get all of our odds at. BetOnline.ag. Only bet what you can, and please bet responsibly.
So there you go. So this next match had two guys that are pretty good. A guy named Okada and a guy named Danielson, Brian Danielson. Whew. These two. Man, I hope Okada arm is okay. Danielson. he just looked lost at the end. Like, he didn't know where to go, which is normal for most of the Wrestle Kingdom matches. They don't know where to go because it's very confusing. But SP3, what do you think of this match that we were all waiting for?
Absolutely outstanding from these two guys. When you have such lofty expectations, it's very easily that you can fall beneath that. And I think that through no fault of their own, that's what happened to them at Forbidden Door due to the injury that Brian suffered. But the way they have used that as the story crux for this matchup and the build-up to this matchup, and then how that story translated into the match, you couldn't have painted that or laid that out better. Like, the crowd was into every moment. The selling, the offense of Brian on the arm, the brutality, the kicks. Oh my God. Those violent kicks where you could just, you felt it because of Okada's selling and his facial expression, the grimace on his face. You felt your own arm and the numbing sensation, the tingling that Okada was probably feeling. He made you feel all of that due to his selling, due to Brian's just physical nature in which that he was in this matchup. This is the American Dragon, Brian Danielson. This is the Brian Danielson I was introduced to back in 2005, 2006 in Ring of Honor when he was the biggest dickhead, the biggest asshole in the world and just talking trash throughout the matchup and just physically dissecting his opponent. That's what he did to Kazuchika Okada in this matchup. And Okada put on one of his best-selling performances I think he's ever done, because Okada can sometimes fall victim to the babyface comeback syndrome of, oh yeah, you've been working my arm the whole matchup, but now I can do all these moves with my damn arm. Or what Dustin Rhodes did at AEW World's End. I would never forgive Dustin Rhodes. You've been in the business for 50 years. You had no business getting your ankle broken by a cinder block and then doing a Canadian Destroyer. I will never forgive Dustin Rhodes for that. But what Kazuchika Okada did was teach Dustin Rhodes, this is how you sell an injury. This is how you do it. Where even at the end, when I use my arm for my finisher, I'm selling the arm on the pinfall. This was 5 stars, the best match of 2024. And I will probably be in December of the 2024 saying that this is still in my top 5. This was perfection.
Man, I like Stephen A. Smith, but you sounded just like him for like about 15 seconds, and I absolutely loved it.
Thing, where yeah, you just wanted to,
yeah. When you just, I was like, is that Stephen A.? Like, I mean, that's how close it was. That was good, but Scott,
yeah, I can't believe I have to follow him. It's tough, but
well, yeah, at least you're not like. Who's the guy on Fox that nobody likes? Skip. So you're not Skip. Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not Skip. Thank God. Yeah, I don't have a clashing opinion here like Skip would. No, this was this was everything that everyone wanted it to be the first time around. But the stakes are raised. No, listen. No offense to Toronto. I don't mean it this way. But there's nothing like the Tokyo Dome, and there's nothing like Okada in the Tokyo Dome. In every preview I did heading into the show, I couldn't stress enough that this is 2 all-time greats going head to head in what I think is the, you know, one of the 2 superior places a match could be held. It's either this or Cork and Hall, truthfully, for me, or Ryogoku. Ryogoku is also phenomenal. And this was, like I just said, phenomenal. It can't be overstated how much of a prick Brian Danielson is. He had these fans chanting yes before the match even started. And once that bell rang, he said, I'm going to make you hate me. I'm going to make you despise me because I'm going to destroy your favorite. And I've never seen Okada destroyed like that. But the beauty of Kazuchika Okada is that when he comes back with just this great babyface momentum. And like SP3 said, that didn't come at the extent, he didn't ruin the work that was done. The arm was still gone, right? The elbow drop, that arm was killing him. The first Rainmaker, that arm was killing him. And that last Rainmaker, he had nothing left in that arm. I would love to see him just not use that arm at New Year's Dash at this point, because he's got no arm left. He used a bit of it left.
I love how the first Rainmaker was like, if you're like in the trenches and you're taking a whole bunch of bullets and you just have a big, one big gun and you're just to give yourself room. That's what it was. Like, he just pulled it out. It was like, oh, God. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like Monty Python, like, oh, it's just a flesh wound. And then like, oh, there goes another limb.
Yeah, like, so the creativity of this match, in many ways, the simplicity of this match to run back some previous moments from their first one. But when Okada ripped that eye patch off and started absolutely pounding on poor Danielson, I was like, here we go. This is it. Mm-hmm. This is it. We reached the pinnacle, right? We reached where we wanted this match to reach. Just tremendous. Okada in the Tokyo Dome, Danielson in the Tokyo Dome. We're probably never going to get either this match again or Danielson in the Tokyo Dome. So if you didn't watch it, go watch it. If you did watch it, go watch it again. I know I will when I, you know, I'm not sleep deprived.
And relish it because, man, this is, you don't get professional wrestling this good too often, and on this stage, when the wrestling is this good on this stage, and there's just so many different moments throughout the matchup, like you said, the elbow drop callback, the drop, every time Okada hits a drop kick, I'm just utterly amazed at the timing and when he hits it, and the Psycho knee, he hits the first Psycho knee on the floor. And it just hits, it just goes right into Okada's ribs. Oh man, there's so many great moments in this matchup. This is a must watch match. This is the bar set for the match of the year right now.
You know, I wasn't going to click on this, but what do you think of this? And what do you think of my dog jumping in there? Well,
only reason I might not be down for that is because I feel like Brian needs to face someone from the UK, either Will Ospreay or Nigel McGuinness.
Okay, yeah. I'll give you that. That does make sense.
Or they just do what they did with Forbidden Door this year and what they did with Wrestle Dream this year, and you just run back the matches you wanted to do the year prior, and they do Danielson and Omega too.
Yeah, at all. That's what I thought they should do, especially if I don't know what his last, like, year or whatever is. I've yet to figure out what Danielson meant. Like, was it a year to the day, or was it all of 2024? Whatever it is, if we don't get him in Omega one more time, but in a commercial-free setting, I'm going to be pissed.
Yes.
I'm going to be pissed. So I need that. I think All In's the perfect place for that, especially after, right, the build to this year. I think the fans over there deserve Kenny and Danielson, but if Okada Danielson 3 is another option, I mean, I'm not gonna complain.
I just feel like there's like three or so options that are better.
I think if Tony Khan had the option to use Okada at All In, he would probably run back Kenny and Okada if he could.
Oh my god, imagine. Yeah. He just gotta announce that. Don't even,
yeah, that was, just announce that.
Announce it like 3 months in advance. When you're like 40,000 in, and you want to boost that number to like 70,000, announce Okada and Omega 5.
Man,
I hope we get 5 one day. I don't know when.
Weird, my nibbles got really sensitive when you guys started talking about that. I'm excited.
My nipples started rubbing against my shirt.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, what's going on here, all boy? Weird. Yeah, this is a new feeling already. Well, we might as well. I'm talking about my main event. Let's go ahead and talk about the main event. Whew. Man, I really enjoyed this match. And Sonata, Naito, SP3, what do you think?
No one. I don't think there's like anyone. You could tell me, oh, WWE fans, they love Cody Rhodes or they love LA Knight. You could tell me AEW fans just absolutely adore Orange Cassidy or they love the Elite. You could tell me all of that. You tell me how much Impact fans love Motor City Machine Guns. You could tell me, it don't matter what promotion you tell me. There is no type of connection like Naito and these New Japan fans. Like, you would think that this is like the son of Jesus Christ himself coming out into the Tokyo Dome, the way these fans are chanting Naito and how they are just completely invested to every twist and turn of this matchup. And like, I was like somewhat like vaguely into the matchup at the beginning. I think I was just coming off the high of a 5-star all-time Tokyo Dome matchup with one my favorite wrestler of all time, Bryan Danielson, and my favorite Japanese wrestler of all time, Kazuchika Okada. So it took me some time to get into this matchup, but I thought that these two guys worked really well with one another, and I felt like they saved their best match for the biggest stage possible. I've seen them have matches in the G1. I saw the match earlier this year in the New Japan Cup. That was really, really good. But this felt like an excellent, great Tokyo Dome main event matchup that Naito, the fans were just rallying behind him. And although he wasn't facing a prototypical heel, you can tell who the babyface was to these fans. And I thought that Sonata held his own and arguably had the best performance of his title reign in his final title defense. So hats off to both guys here.
All right, Scott.
SP3, I told you before this show really got going, right? Because I know you were down on the Sonata build. I think everyone was down on the Sonata build. But I said to you, there's nothing like a Tetsuya Naito main event. And before the bell even rang to start this match, I felt like I was right. Because, like you said, wrestling fans love their favorite wrestlers, but Japanese fans love Naito like no one else. And that crowd, you know, if you watched this whole show, you would have thought the crowd was sometimes a clapping crowd for some matches. And then Naito came out there and you were like, oh, we're back to the peak of these crowds, because it was incredible. It was infectious. You got lost in the match in the best way possible. There is something, this is like, if you watch like anything with like Mystico in CMLL, it's a lot like that. If you're new to
it, it's like, cause I just saw the movie. It's like the Von Erickson
test. Yes, exactly.
That's the closest form in North America that I've seen.
Right. It's the wrestler that people can get behind. They don't care what the match is. They don't. They just want to see their favorite win. And I'm pretty sure some point in this match, Sonata's shoulder went out, truthfully. Like, because there were a few points where they were trying to do something and he just could not do it. But they worked through it. And again, those closing minutes were perfection. And Naito getting that win, man, it was magic. That Naito magic, there's just something about it. And this was the last shot. I think that's what makes this so special, right? Naito's never doing this again. He's never getting the roll call again. This was it. This was it for one of the greatest of all time, truthfully. This was his last major moment. He's going to hold this title to however long. He's going to put over someone new, and it's going to be great. But he got his roll call because of it. And that post-match, my God, it was perfect. I just sat there. I was like, listen, I know people hate the House of Torture. You're supposed to hate the House of Torture. But this was perfect.
I will say, though, you wanted to kill someone. I wanted to kill someone, but in the best way possible.
Yes.
Because I knew what was coming. They can't do that again. Right. They knew
people were waiting, and they did it so quickly. And then when Sonata came flying from the screen, it was perfectly shot. I jumped out of my seat. Listen, people, I have no energy left in my body. I am fading as I speak here. But when Sonata showed up, I leaped out of my chair. And it was perfect, right? Because that the reason they did that was to get all of LIJ included, even the former members in those two. Those two were core members of LIJ, Evil and Sonata. And Sonata, you know, pretty much, you know, him and Naito having that moment, then walking away in tears, like, man, you got to feel for that guy. But it was perfectly done. And then we got the roll call, and I was like, all right, this was perfect. I'm done. I don't care. Match was great, by the way. Like, even with the few slip-ups, it was still a great main event and fitting of the main event, because nothing was matching the Naito. Right? Like, you know, like, Western fans would be like, oh, put Danielson in. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
No.
Does not matter. Domestic fans, it's Naito and then everyone else.
Exactly. Yeah, that's their guy to answer Maggie in the chat. Sonata held the title for 9 months. He is the longest reigning IWGP World Heavyweight Champion of all time. And I mean, to be fair, it hasn't been the best.
He's not the worst.
He's not the worst IWGP World Heavyweight Champion in history, because, you know, Evil came out to remind everybody. So
that and Ibushi had it for like 2 seconds.
I mean, Ibushi was much better than Sonata. Well, Evil. I mean,
hey! Had it for one match.
Hey, I'd rather a short run that has good matches than a long run where all the good matches was at the beginning.
That's true. I'm with you there.
Well, guys, I want to say thank you very much for tuning in to our post-show review for Wrestle Kingdom 18. Overall, grade-wise, Scott, what would you give it? And plug your stuff.
Yeah, if I can remember any of my stuff. I would give it a good, like, B+, A-. Like, I just think it was a very successful show for New Japan. Sets them up for the new year. Because I know this is the start of the year for a lot of people, like, in their wrestling minds. But this is the end for New Japan. Tomorrow's a new day for them. Tomorrow's a new year for them. This is when they build to the next Wrestle Kingdom. And I thought it was a great way to shore up a lot of things. Maybe I don't love every champion, seeing one of them's leaving. But it's fine. It's fine. Battle in the Valley's in a few weeks. I feel like that's going to have a lot of changes already. And I'm very excited for the future with New Japan, which is what Wrestle Kingdom should have me be excited for. Plugs. Check out my stuff at Fightful. I do a lot of interviews for them. Did a few for the big week of Japanese wrestling. I did one with Kaito Kiyomiya, one with Okane Uehara of TJPW. Check those out. I host a few podcasts, including the 5-Star Joshi Show, if you want to get into Joshi wrestling, because before this, I was awake and watching two Joshi shows, because TJPW and Stardom went back-to-back right before this. So if you want to hear about that, go over there. You can just type that into any podcast platform. Will come up as Fight Game Media Network. So please listen to that. Otherwise, I'm tired. I'm going to send it over to SB3.
Thank you guys for having me, Rob, Scott, all of you watching. Remember to drop the thumbs up on the video, share with your friends, subscribe if you are new to Fightful Overbook, because I am here on Tuesdays where I don't talk about professional wrestling. I just complain about the Los Angeles Lakers and their struggles this season. And then I played the many voices of the male characters on Love is Blind Mobile, along with Cher Delaware and Jeremy Lambert. So, yeah, if you're into any of that type of stuff, check that out. And check out all the great stuff here on Fightful Overbook. You can also see my content over at True Hill Heat Wrestling. I'll be live, actually, later today, 3:05 p.m. Eastern Time. I usually start at 1, but I need to sleep. So 3:05 p.m. Eastern Time with me and Jimmy Macaram, AE Ramble, the best AEW Dynamite review in the land, where we're going to break down the first edition of AEW Dynamite of 2024. We also going to do an NJPW Wrestle Kingdom 18 review on that channel on Friday, 12:05 p.m. Eastern Time. I'll be joined by Jay News and Sanal, and we'll break down all the action from Wrestle Kingdom there. So check out the True Hill Heat YouTube channel for most of my stuff, and at True Hill SP3, my Twitter account, where you can see all my star ratings for 2023. That's the pinned comment on my Twitter page.
And I definitely recommend checking out, like, your pin tweet, because I look at that all the time. I think you rate matches really well. Guys, you can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X, or Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram and Threads at Fightful Rob. Every Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern, I do a show called Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. Maggie carries the show. I'm just there for shits and giggles. But want to say thank you for tuning in. We really do appreciate you. I hope you enjoyed Wrestle Kingdom, and we will see you soon. So thank you and peace out.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.